Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you are in the world. I am Russell Tovey.
And I'm Robert Diamant.
And this is Talk Art.
Welcome to Talk Art.
How are you, Rob?
Today, I'm feeling gay and proud to be gay and proud to be queer and homosexual and all of these things, which is actually one thing. But actually, it's a big thing.
No, queer isn't one thing. Queer can be anything,
queer
but homosexual and gay... Correct. Oh, that's great you're feeling like that, because I wouldn't put that, you know, them words associate with you, really. But
no, never. I mean, you never would have thought I was gay, would you? So that is that effectively my coming out as well? Have I come out of the closet for you? I've been watching too much musical theatre, I think, on TV. Anyhow, today's guest is an incredible photographer, and I first heard about his work through Jerry Saltz, because Jerry has been a big, big admirer of his work
for a while,
that's the word, yeah, exactly. And I just love his photographs, and they are looking at issues of sexuality, homosexuality, with disability, and kind of human desire. And you know how much I love the soul and all things to do with that. And I think you really feel that in this artist's work.
Absolutely.
And I know that you're a big fan as well.
Massive fan. But this is work that really explores that intersection with disability and sexuality, which I think is completely missing from the art history canon. And this artist is I'm sure we'll find out from him, but is really changing the dialogue for what that is, and it's much needed, and it's offensively missing, and it's really amazing that we can talk to this incredible photographer today. So we would like
and the
to
good news is it's
to,
not oh, it's the good news is that it's not missing anymore, thanks to his work.
Exactly.
And he's been self-described as ballsy, charming, devastatingly handsome, homosexual, I can't remember all the others, but I think it was like disabled, artist, activist, and many other things. So our artist today, we would like to welcome to Talk Art,
Robert Andy Coombs.
Hi, Robert.
Hi. Hi, how are you?
Good. Where are you in the world, Robert?
I am in bright and sunny Miami, Florida.
Oh, we're in the UK, and it's not bright and sunny. It's kind of...
I miss Miami.
Gray and cold. Is it warm there?
It's 80 degrees and sunny outside.
Oh, my God. So how long have you been in Miami? Is that your hometown?
No, I just moved here September 1st. So, after graduating in May with my master's, I was trying to go to New York, but it just was unfeasible for me to, like, afford to live there. So I was like, where else can I go? And I don't know, I really didn't want to go to LA. I've been there in the winter and it's not warm enough for me. So I said, why not Miami? And I just moved here on a whim and I'm loving it. So
that's so nice. So you completed your MFA in photography at Yale, right?
Yes, I just graduated from Yale, the MFA photography program. Thank you. You know, graduating in the middle of a pandemic, which that was interesting. So
Well, what was that like then, completing your course? And
everything just felt uneventful this year. When anything good happened or bad happened, it's just like, I don't know, like you just don't get to process your emotions, being away from family and not being able to like celebrate with your colleagues. It was just kind of a little disheartening, but also just, I don't know, it was weird. It's just like, you couldn't really express those emotions of like happiness with, the rest of your cohort, because we all were separate.
I guess it's fundamentals in education. When you go through the process, like you have your graduation show, or you go to your the prom, you have all these things that so many people this year have missed that are fundamental to your experiences of what it is to be a human. You have these kind of benchmarks in your lives, and I guess graduating from Yale and not being able to celebrate that must feel weird. Did everything end up online, or how did the work get graded, and how did people see the work?
So we, unfortunately, we were like the, usually our graduating class, the photos will, we'll have our thesis show at the School of Art. And then, usually with the photo, department, usually our thesis will go to like a gallery in New York, or, if we want to have more than one show, maybe like LA or something. Unfortunately, like we weren't able to have our thesis show or, and now like, because we have already graduated, it just seems like, no one wants to view our work, which is unfortunate. because we're like so low on the totem pole when it comes to the art, community.
What photography, so, yeah, you feel like within the hierarchy of art, you feel like you're quite low?
Well, that, and then, a lot of other shows were already canceled. So trying to find a venue in New York, or, how our thesis show could live now that it's like a year old, I don't know. So we're having some difficulties as a cohort, like my graduating class, trying to figure out how or if we're even going to have a thesis show. So, we did do a website, but, that's about it.
Yeah. I think it's the same for a lot of the artists here in the UK as well. Cause I was talking to some of the Royal College of Art students and everywhere. Yeah. It's like a common annoyance.
Denominator.
Must be so frustrating. Yeah, what is the website for your show though? Because we should advertise that. Do you know it? Well, if not, I can share it on Instagram. It's fine.
Yeah. Did you find anything in this time inspiring for the work? Although this experience in education was struggling, was there anything within your practice that came out of the pandemic and the lockdown and the restrictions?
As far as my work, not particularly.
Right.
I tried doing still lives, but I think that was kind of a fail on my part. I'm not really good at making inanimate objects look interesting, so I'm more of a portrait photographer when it comes down to it. I love photographing people and relationships and interactions. So,
but I noticed that since you've been in Miami, you've been out and about, so you've been able to go outdoors. And sort of do photo shoots that way, which were incredibly exciting. Can you speak a bit about that process?
Yeah, of course. And that was another reason why I wanted to move somewhere warm. Like being a quadriplegic, I don't move very much. So like my circulation is very poor. So I'm always cold. So I was just thinking like, where could I like be able to work in and out of doors, and Miami has been wonderful. It's December and it's 80 degrees out, and I can go outside and not have to worry about bundling up or getting caught in the snow or freezing. any part of my body. So it's been wonderful being able to just like go out to the beach and on Ocean Avenue and just photograph, you know, all walks of life, which is mostly just like beautiful men.
Yeah, absolutely. That's your people who come to your work will instantly recognize the barrage of flesh of naked men, of beautiful men, and then of yourself, a beautiful man, that is part of this narrative that you've created. There's so many self-portraits of you in these classical Renaissance poses, but what we're seeing is something that, as I said in the introduction, is vastly missing from representation, and that is the minutiae of disability, but yet a sexual appetite that exists within disability.
Right. And like that's one of the main things that I noticed when my accident happened in 2009. I was training a double backflip on a trampoline and landed on my neck. So when I was in rehab, I learned really quickly that even though that my, you know, you would think your medical professions or, you know, your medical professionals would like explain to you how your body works, you know, after such a drastic change, specifically sexually, they definitely tiptoed around it. And, you know, I had to go out on my own and like scour the internet on, you know, how my body works sexually. So like I had to like go watch like, you know, like XTube videos or Pornhub videos of guys like masturbating, in wheelchairs and like with spinal cord injuries specifically. And, I had to learn everything on my own. And I also realized after my accident that disability and sexuality just wasn't represented at all in images, or that the general public just thought we were asexual, or we are asexual, which is like simply not the case, as you can see. My sex life is alive and well. And yeah, I just kind of wanted to shed light on that topic.
I also feel like you're letting us into this secret society of like disabled people, which it shouldn't be secretive, but it feels like you're really allowing us access to this reality for so many people and giving that visibility.
Right, exactly. And you know, a lot of people are you know, disabled activists and other artists write about it a lot. But when it comes to imagery, there isn't a lot, especially when the imagery is coming from a disabled person and not an able-bodied artist like photographing us, you know. It doesn't give the same. I don't know. It always looks weird when an able-bodied artist photographs, you know, someone who is physically disabled. It's just a little off to me, and that's what I've noticed. Like when I come across.
In what way, though? What is it off? Do you think? Does it feel like it's trying to add some sort of sympathy in there, or trying to show some sort of pain or something? Whereas your work is very unflinching, and I don't feel any sympathy. I mean, I feel sympathy for what's happened to you, but I don't feel any sympathy in your images that I should feel sorry for you. I feel kind of empowered by you.
Right. And yeah, I don't know. That's just kind of the feeling I get, is just sympathy or even like just it's hard
like the
to explain,
gaze,
but
the gaze of the able-bodied, I guess. Right. It's like the male gaze for women. It's the gaze of the able-bodied on, yeah.
Exactly. Or like we're put up on a pedestal or something. There's another photographer who photographs like army veterans in like these classical things. Colors. And I don't know. Yeah. It's just a little weird to me.
These are the ones who've been injured, like, injured in like,
yeah, it's in action. Like, yeah, it's just like, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah, but I know what you're saying. I don't know. You have an instinct. Your instinct's saying it just doesn't feel authentic to you because it's coming from someone who doesn't really have a full understanding of what your lived experience is.
Right. So, I don't know. I like to show the nitty-gritty and, you know, especially, like, technologies and, like, just unapologetic when it comes to my nude body and, you know, I love showing the scars and the adaptations I've done. And you know, even though my body doesn't look like, you know, my very toned gymnastics body, you know, I still love it. And it does what it needs to do.
And actually, the photos are really beautiful. Like, you know, there's images of you where you see very clearly, like, your suprapubic catheter that's inserted into the kind of mid part of your torso, and it all becomes so kind of, I find it incredibly beautiful, like the whole the actual position, the kind of composition of your photos, like they make me think of kind of, I don't know, classic paintings and kind of...
Yeah, exactly. Like,
is that something... Yeah, totally, yeah. And there's a kind of romance to it. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you. Like, I often find things like scars. Like, I remember a guy that I was dating and he had a big scar, like, all the way down his... the centre of his, you know, tummy button. And it used to be something that he would find very sort of... Well, not embarrassing, but kind of like he didn't want me to focus on it or something. And I think what I find about your photos is the braveness and the kind of confidence and the acceptance that you have. And it kind of makes all of us as viewers, you know, sort of feel this joy of all different bodies.
Do you feel brave when you make the work, Robert?
Not really. I don't know. I love myself. I'm probably one of the biggest, like, narcissists. And my mom is just always like, where did you come from? I didn't raise you like this, you know, but I don't know. I'm the youngest child and, like, I don't know. I always loved myself, you know, I kind of just figured, like, well, you know, no one is going to be able to make this work, like I can. So, like, when I got the idea to do my self-portraits, I was, like, you know, I was almost 30, and it was kind of just, like, a new sexual awakening to me. Like, I just stopped caring what people thought of me, and, like, I love my body, and I want to share it with other people, and, you know, I didn't care what people were going to think of me, whether, you know, like, photographing myself in, like, sexual situations or, you know, having sex in front of the camera. Like, I don't know. I just really didn't care anymore. Mm-hmm. But I try and make them objectively beautiful, with the lighting and the subject matter, the composition. And you know, so that, people, you know, people, regardless of the subject matter, you know, people will be able to view them as beautiful.
Yeah. So. Have you ever had experiences where people have been kind of upset with you for putting these images out in the world?
Oh yeah, totally. Like, I've been called gross or this is disgusting. Why? Like, even on, like, you know, I love looking at the comments when, like, Jerry Saltz would post something about my work and they'd be like, really, why this? Like, you know, this doesn't need to be shown or stuff like that. I don't know. I just think it's funny.
Does that power you on? Does that give you strength knowing that doing something that's shocking people and pushing the narrative?
Ah, I love the shock. You know, but... But these aren't shocking to me. Like, I don't know.
No.
It's just, I don't know. I love what I do. And, you know, I love myself And the artwork is really for me, you know, to make these images. I love creating different images, and you know that I love how, you know, I can make something that I truly love, and if other people can get something from it, that's amazing too. I also want to create the work so that, you know, other people with disabilities can get laid. So
has that worked for people? Has that been like an influence on other people's sex lives?
Well, I think when it comes to the able-bodied community, it's just like there's so much curiosity. And people just need to learn how to communicate better, like specifically using like word choices and more thinking about the phrase you're going to say when it comes to like disability and sex. It's just like people are like, how do you have sex? And I'm like, how do you have sex? Like, it's not rocket science. Like,
no, but you're shifting that, you're moving that narrative and conversation, because you're saying that people say, how do you have sex? But you're saying you should be asking me, what sort of sex do I like?
Right. It's exactly.
Like you're saying like, stop. Yeah, exactly. And
yeah.
So let's talk about the work itself, because as Rob was saying, there's lots of these guys in there and they're like beautiful, and a lot of able-bodied people are positioned around yourself, and you set these scenarios up. How do you find these models, and how do you come up with these scenarios, these ideas? Is it quite instinctive in the moment, or do you have a picture in your mind of how you're going to capture these images?
Yeah, so normally I just, during the mornings, before my caregivers come in, I usually have like, I don't know, I usually it's just like a meditative thing. Like if I wake up before my caregivers, I just kind of slowly wake up, and that's usually when I meditate the most. And by meditate, I mean, I'm so fresh with ideas. And that's where I like start creating a list of different ideas that I have for my photography. Also, it's just like me experimenting in my sex life and then photographing things I have done in the past. So
it's like a diary in some ways.
Yeah. It's like, you know, because like sometimes when I suck dick in my wheelchair, they can either climb up on my armrest, like the picture of myself with the guy in the stacks of the library,
Solomon? Is that your friend Joey Solomon?
No, that's it's a different
okay.
It's a different friend, yeah. But yeah, like, you know, or you know, I'll tilt my chair back and suck dick that way, and you know, and yeah, there's just a lot of different themes that I want to capture, especially like, you know, people are so fixated on like, oh, you have to be in your wheelchair. I specifically don't. I mean, some people it's more comfortable to be in their wheelchair or in their bed, but you know, you see me on the grass, you see me in my bed, on the floor, on the couch. So I just want to kind of get rid of that notion that people are bound to their wheelchairs, because that's not the case.
I was really fascinated by some of the images in nature. Like, I love the ones of you on the beach, you know, when you're kind of in an embrace, like with a lover, like on the beach, and this kind of romance of the nature. And there's even a self-portrait where you're fully dressed, but on your website, where you have like trees, you know, above you. And I sort of see this thread of nature throughout. Is that something that you've responded to in the history of art, or is it, you know, is it something that's important to you, this relationship to nature?
I think it's just the juxtaposition of like my wheelchair, you know, this technology that that I use in the outdoors. I also grew up in the Upper Peninsula in Michigan. So mm-hmm. I've always had like these strong roots back to nature, and I really need to explore that more in my work. I love nature and I love being outside and being naked in the middle of, you know, a forest is just, that just reeks of my childhood. I grew up doing that. Yeah. So, yeah. And like me and my friends frolicking naked any chance we got.
Wow. 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 And so growing up, were you taking photos or is that something that's come to you like later in life?
Yeah, I started in middle school. I, you know, would just walk around the woods and find different things to photograph. And I think I naturally had an eye when it came to composition. Then in like high school, I would just photograph my friends and I. I had a cheap little digital camera and would just document like the crazy shit that we did. We would like climb buildings in my hometown, climb billboards and stuff, and just parties, like just photographing myself and my friends partying. And
yeah. Did you have any inspiration from photographers? Like, did you look at people like, at that time, like Cindy Sherman or Catherine Opie, or like now it feels like you're looking more to Hoojar and Mapplethorpe potentially?
Yeah, I had no exposure to any type of photography or art. I lived in the middle of nowhere. And then I ended up getting a scholarship to Kendall College of Art and Design in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And that's kind of where I started seeing a little bit more of art. One of the people that I was really struck by at first was Andy Warhol. And I think that was one of my biggest inspirations first. And
what
then
what work by him?
I think I just loved the whole lifestyle of like the it artist in New York, like having a bunch of people around him to like help him create his work. Like I loved how, you know, he had this community and they just kind of did whatever they wanted. And I think that really spoke to me.
This really relates to something you have on your website where you write that you want to fulfill your dream of becoming a famous artist, which is something that is quite rare and quite fresh and really nice to actually see an artist state that so clearly. But is that obviously you're incredibly ambitious, but do you feel like to become a famous artist, when you get there, you're going to be changing things and what that experience will be for you?
I mean, I just want to be able to help people more, you know what I mean? And I feel like when you have a huge platform, you know, you can start doing things like that. So really advocating for like artist residencies to become more accessible, for galleries to become more accessible. And not only that, but just like venues in general, like they're so inaccessible when it comes to especially like New York or LA, when you know you have to go up a flight of stairs to like get into, you know, a building or anything like that. Like it's so ridiculous. And I really want the arts community to kind of, you know, start realizing that, and not just physical disability, but you know, other disabilities as well. Mm-hmm. We haven't had like a huge disabled role model since like Christopher Reeves, I feel. But even then, I feel like his foundation was more set on a cure than actually like helping the disabled while, you know, we're waiting. which I'm more interested in like helping out people now so that they can fulfill their dreams, whether, you know, they're in a wheelchair or have any other disability. So I feel like with my fame, I could, you know, help change that narrative.
Absolutely. What was it like getting the critique from the master Jerry Saltz himself, and how did that come about? And that must have changed things.
Yeah, I mean, I woke up on a Friday to like, you know, hundreds of people like following my old Instagram and just like liking my work, and I was just like, holy shit, Jerry Saltz, like where the hell did he find me from, you know? And and so yeah, that it was a crazy experience. And then ultimately like my Instagram got shut down, you know, because of that, because people kept reporting his stuff and also my stuff, and it was a whirlwind of a week for sure.
But your account got cancelled because of the images that you were posting of your own work.
Yes. So I got deactivated on Saturday because people, I don't know, like to report things that, yeah, you know, are, it's like, you know, I'm trying to change the way people look at disability and sexuality. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people reporting it and censoring it, you know, and ultimately like Instagram, who now have like, you know, commercials out saying, we love vanguards, we love all these amazing creators to like step out to the forefront, but yet they're totally like censoring and disabling, yeah, like, you know, amazing artists. And it's not just me. You know, it's ridiculous that they like try and brand themselves as like this amazing avenue, which I mean they are, but they're also like trying to kill the arts, in, you know, the same way. So yeah, I got deactivated, and then Jerry had posted on Monday, that next Monday, that I was deactivated. So then they reactivated my account, and then like deactivated it, and then reactivated it, and then deactivated again, all in 1 week. It was ridiculous. And it's just like, and the whole like refuting it or like trying to get it back is such a convoluted way. Like, and like they really just don't care. Like if they deactivate you, it could take anywhere from like a week to like years to get your account back. And it's just like, how long, you know, do you want to keep fighting?
And yeah. It's and just, also, like, I guess that just takes away from your creative energy, doesn't it? The last thing you want to do is waste your time, yeah, fighting to keep an account open when you could be making work or thinking about work or living your life. Yeah.
Right. And like, thanks to Jerry, I was almost up to like 10,000 followers, and then I got deactivated, so I had to start all over.
So you've got a new active account now, right?
Yes, it's Robert Andy Coombs 2. Okay.
Yeah, and we will link to you there as well. But there's something about your work that I love the energy of, which is this kind of everyday kind of freedom in it. There's a sense of freedom, and you do seem to be quite prolific in many ways. Is the creative process something that you are very comfortable with? Like, do you have loads of ideas like for making work?
Yeah, I've been on a creative high since applying to Yale the second time. I didn't, my first time applying to Yale, I didn't get an interview or accepted or anything, but I really didn't take no for an answer the second time. And instead of talking about the work I wanted to make, I started making the work that I wanted to make. And they really saw, you know, my vision. And and yeah, I don't know. I just like, Michigan was like just killing me creatively and like emotionally and physically when it came to winters. But I didn't have a creative community in Michigan. The Midwest like sucks when it comes to sexuality in general. So like trying to find men to like pose with me, you know, in sexual ways, was just extremely difficult. So getting accepted into Yale and being so close to New York and just the East Coast in general, like people were way more willing to go there with me. It was really refreshing.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
How do you find these models?
I'm on like every gay dating website or app. And also a lot of it through Instagram as well. I made a lot of amazing friends, especially in New York these past 2 years when I was at school, other queer artists in New York and like Boston. And they were just like, yeah, let's do it. And so my creative process is, I think about different scenarios and like things that I like sexually or things that I, want to try sexually. Not just sexually, but like when it comes to intimacy and being cared for and having people care for you, it just shows, I just wanted to show a lot of, the different dynamics of my relationships and friendships and, sexual adventures.
There's a lot of respect in the images that feels like you all really respect and trust each other. That's what you get from your work.
Right. And it's just like being able to find these, friends and lovers, like it just really helped invigorate my work that I wasn't getting in Michigan. So
I really love the series of Polaroids from Yale because of the sense of like joy. There's just so much joy in them, and you can see the fun that you guys are having. And something that I really love is the way that you are able to catch the eye of the camera yourself. And it's so striking, your kind of blue steel or striking a pose. You think of Michigan, Madonna came from Michigan
right.
as well.
Did she? Is that where Detroit is?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Is Michigan a swing state?
I think so. I think it's relatively like there's two big cities that are pretty blue, but the rest is a very rural and conservative. So it's very polarizing. It can go either way.
Right. Now, Rob just mentioned the Polaroids. The Polaroid feels like it's really important because you've actually got, is that a tattoo of a Polaroid on your chest?
No, that I have a "Hello, my name is" sticker that I used to write different names at different parties. I was always the naked guy at parties, like always stripping down and frolicking around. And they're just like, "Oh man, there he goes again."
And this is family parties or friends?
No, friends. But yeah, I would just write in different names. And then the 4x5 was my favorite format to photograph, a 4x5 sheet film with a 4x5 view camera, just because the quality and it just, 4x5 film is amazing. So
you got that as a tattoo. I love that.
Yeah, the Polaroids. I would start with the. I started with those. I found one, a Polaroid camera. You know, at a thrift store, and I was like, you know, I'm just gonna experiment with this. And little did I know that the Polaroids had like such a huge. They were so huge in the gay community because, you know, it was instant film, and you know, you didn't have to go get it developed and like fear for, you know, being outed as, you know, male when, so especially with like the work of Tom Bianchi and Andy Warhol, like, you know, they were able to photograph like, you know, their intimate connections with other men without having to worry about being outed. So it was, you know, such a huge, huge thing. And I didn't realize that when I started taking Polaroids, but
yeah, I didn't think about that. Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's almost, yeah, and Tom Bianchi's book of Fire Island is really worth checking out if you don't know his work, for the listeners, because I love that book. I've got it upstairs, and it's a classic.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. And it also kind of informed my practice a little bit more. I was just willing to experiment more with my Polaroids. And so that really helped me when it came to creating my work, like through my other cameras, just being able to, you know, see that instantaneously. And then also just try different angles, it really helped me experiment like with my photography.
Can we talk about the technicalities of your process as well? Because there's certain stuff that's involved in the camera that you can't actually function it in its way that it's been developed. So you have digital controls that you use, that like there's a joystick that you operate by your mouth, for example, and things that you've I don't know if you've invented them, but you've fashioned them out of things so they work for you, right? Can you talk a bit about them?
Yeah, when I was in rehab at the University of Michigan, I was in like they had, you know, different classes with assistive technology, and they got me introduced to this company called CompuSalt, and they're based out of Canada, and they make it's called a Jouse, JOUSE. And it's essentially just a joystick with a sip and puff. So you puff to click, and it plugs into your computer, and you can use, you know, you can use your mouth and your lips and your head to like move the cursor on the screen, and then you just puff to click. So when I had that, and I was, I spent about a year at home after my accident with my parents. And then I realized I need to go back to school. So my professor, Adam DeCracker, at Kendall, and I started talking about how I was going to photograph again. And that's really how, you know, I informed my way of working, even till this day. The school hired one of the other students to physically assist me, working with an assistant, and I wasn't new to that. I would always have my friends help me and assist me on photo shoots before my accident, so it just kind of was second nature. I was used to that, but he introduced me to more of like the technology, Capture One software, where you basically like plug your camera into your computer and you can operate all the settings from that. So that's how I started working, how I started photographing again, just kind of, you know, bringing like a table and my Jouse, the mouth joystick, and plugging my camera into my computer and putting it on a tripod. And so it was a very like, It was a production in and of itself.
It feels like by hook or by crook, like where there's a will, there's a way with you. You're like, this isn't going to hold me back. I'm going to keep trailblazing and telling stories. And And I think there's lots of apparatus that you're still looking for. I noticed on your website you have an Amazon wish list that people can...
Yeah, I love the wish list. I've been through that.
Can get work for you, which I think is amazing.
I think more artists need to just ask for help. Like,
yes.
Like a wedding list. Yeah.
Right. And it's just like, if you want to help support my artistic vision, like, you know, if you can afford it, like, buy some stuff for me, you know, that'll help me.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
And I love where technology is going right now because with home automation and things like that, it's making, you know, the physically disabled just a lot more independent. Like when it comes to, you know, hands-free with your phone, or, you know, I just being able to operate your camera from your phone is huge, you know? Mm. You know, and I also, with my fame, I would love to, you know, if I ever, you know, get to the point where I can collaborate with, you know, different camera companies, like, these are things, you know, that I would love to do, like help them design a camera for
who would you want to work with? Who's someone you would think would be like Leica or Canon, or who are these companies that you would consider?
I saw you selling a Canon camera.
No, I mean, Phase One, Hasselblad, Sony, wow. Nikon. I won't discriminate who I want to work with. But the thing is, like, when you design with disability in mind, it benefits everyone, you know, it benefits able-bodied, you know, and I think artists would be able to use these features, you know, regardless of your ability, you know, if you can have like a hands-free camera, like, think of the world of opportunities that, like, yeah, that would open up to all arts, you know?
Yeah, well, it's real innovation, yeah.
Right, exactly. And yeah, I just want, like, you know, designers and people to start thinking about, you know, disability in mind first, and then, like, yeah, the benefits
moving the conversation forward and assisting them.
Right, yeah.
I've been really enjoying the films you've been making, which are kind of almost like documentary style, where you have a camera like follow you around. And since you've been in Miami, you've been shooting at the Muscle Beach, and there's obviously one in LA as well. And initially I thought it was LA, and then I realized it was South Beach in Miami. But I love this idea that when you're taking the photos, you're doing it on film. So the people who are having their picture taken are so used these days to seeing the immediate image on a phone, and you have to make them wait. But also the kind of decisiveness of your image taking seems so strong, because, you know, we're getting to watch you actually taking these images, and you seem very distinctly sort of clear in the moment about what the image is and when you want to take it, and you will request it, you know, to take another shot. Is that something you've always had, a kind of real confidence in the image?
Since my accident, like, I'm very much pre-production, so I know, for the most part, I know what I want the image to look like before I even take it. And I think that's just something that I have adapted to, instead of just taking a bunch of random pictures. I've really honed in on my eye, and I have my disability to thank for that. Being able to direct, you know, my assistant to get, you know, the vision that I want. And I don't know, I have such a, like, photographic mind now that I like seeing light and shadow and composition and how it's going to look in a two-dimensional image. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just the way my brain has adapted to. I also love photographing from my point of view, just because I'm at a certain angle where it's like, I constantly have like dicks and butts in my face all the time, and I'm not mad at it. So no, it's just like
that's a lovely life. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like being a gay wheelchair user is just like constantly, like, you know, guys are standing around you and you're just like at dick height, and it's great, and I love documenting that. Like, I love photographing, you know, from my point of view and how I see. So
yeah, but your work as well, although it is highly sexual, but you're also looking into fetishes, and there's a lot of S&M and bondage in there, and there's kind of like the narrative as well. You're pushing the fact that we're seeing an actively disabled person being sexual, but then we're also seeing the fetish. It feels like you're even allowing even more of this visibility and authenticity to come through. You don't shy away from it.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm in like my next. You know, in my 30s, I just kind of like started having another sexual awakening, and the possibilities of dom sub relationships. And, you know, I am very in control of my life when it comes to dictating my care, but when it comes to like physically, I'm so not in control. And like, I can't do things when I want, when I want, all the time. So being able to like dominate someone and like have them do whatever you want without like having to say please or thank you, like it just feels good, you know. Or having to worry about, you know, a lot of what physical disability is, for me personally, I physically have to take care, even though like I have people physically take care of me, I have to mentally take care of them. You know, just because like, yeah,
you must come across a lot of fear in others for you, for the protection of you, for your body, for what they're seeing.
Yeah. But also like the exhaustion of caring for someone is real, you know, and I'm not, I'm empathetic towards that, you know, and so it's a lot of mental gymnastics, trying to figure out the balance, of being cared for and, you know, caring for other people. I could talk hours about it,
what do you do to switch off? You know, if you're constantly sort of, if your brain has evolved to this point where it's thinking so much about, you know, different angles and light and taking photos yourself, what do you do to kind of relax and not think about making work? Is that possible?
Well, every night, like when my caregiver comes in at 9 o'clock, I, you know, kind of get some chores done and, you know, like, and then I'll get in bed and watch some stupid TV and go to sleep. So I'll just watch like reality TV or, you know, something like funny.
What's your reality TV show?
I was going to say, what's your highlights?
Real Housewives.
No, well, RuPaul's Drag Race, obviously.
Oh, hell yes. Hey, oh my! Did you watch RuPaul, the UK one?
I did. Oh my God. So good.
Game changing.
Bega.
Bag of chips is... Yes. Sexy Bagger Chips is class. I'm obsessed with Bagger. Booked Bagger for a friend's engagement party.
We had a private performance by Bagger. It was major.
Where was my invite?
Next time we will organize. Yes. Seriously, yeah.
She turned up as Elphaba from Wicked because there was a performance of Wicked going on at Heaven Nightclub here, and she turned up as like a Wicked Witch of the West and then sung. Amazing. It was kind of bonkers, but it was when we had the British one, it went crazy, and I am like the biggest fan, so that's the best TV choice. Yes,
I know.
Tick tick tick.
But I've been catching up on Slag Wars.
We've done the first episode.
I saw that she wrote to you and said like she loves you.
Well, the cock destroyers have written to you. Oh my god!
Yeah, and they're big fans of your work.
Rebecca Moore Dix. she contacted, or I saw that she followed my Instagram. I'm like, holy shit, no way, are you joking? So I like messaged her and she's like, oh my God, I love your work. You know, you're so sexy and hot and you are without a doubt a cock destroyer. And I'm like, I have made it. Jerry Salt who? Jerry Salt who? Rebecca Mornix, the cock destroyer herself. Level.
Yeah,
cock yes. destroyer. Oh my God, you are a cock destroyer, Robert.
Yeah. And do you? I was like, if you want to collaborate, let me know. I'm in Miami.
Yes.
I think she's coming to LA later in 2020. If all things are permitted, and she's like, I might have to make a tour and come to Miami. And I was like, you
next
better.
Year, 2021, so, or this later yes, this year?
2021.
Amazing. Yeah, do you consider yourself an activist, Robert?
I mean, just living as a disabled person, you are an activist because you're constantly having to advocate for yourself when it comes to, getting cared for, you know, when it comes to insurance or just even going to the hospital. Like, you know, no one knows my body better than I do. And, you know, I'm very adamant when it comes to, you know, how my body works. And I mean, thankfully, like the medical professionals that I meet, they realize that I know what the fuck's going on with my body. So they listen, which is great. And that doesn't always happen, but I'm always advocating and making sure and educating, and it's exhausting, but I mean, like, I, you know, if I can do it and save someone else's, you know, save someone else from having to do this shit, like, yeah, my job is done. So,
and I saw on your website that you do a model search as well, like that way you have a kind of open call. But the other day you actually did a call out for like disabled people of Miami, and you were like, can we meet up? I want to photograph you, like, since moving
yes.
there. And did you have yes. many responses to that call?
I've met three disabled queers here in Miami. Two of them are spinal cord injuries, and one of them has cerebral palsy. And so I, like, you know, I just moved here, so I'm still trying to, like, you know, get to know people and gain a following here in Miami. It's kind of difficult with the pandemic, just because, you know, people aren't out, you know, like they used to be, or, you know, you just don't meet as many people. But I got a few, which was nice, but, just still trying to explore that and figure it out as it goes. Like, I did a substantial, body of work with myself that's going to be continuing throughout my whole life, age as a disabled man. But I really want to start photographing other people. And now that, you know, they can see my images of how I photograph myself, and, you know, it just kind of gives them, you know, just confidence in, you know, photographing themselves. So
I think what we've seen with you is just like literally scratching the surface of what your body of work will be. I feel like
you're
giving so much agency to yourself and your community and the queer community and the disabled community and everything. It's like this agency that you are giving and showing is incredibly important and empowering. So thank you so much for that.
Yeah, thank you.
And also, I really want to talk about your dog, because I'm in love with Lad.
Oh my God, I know. And I'm like a terrible Instagram dog dad, because he doesn't have his own Instagram.
Amen.
I thought you and Russell would bond over this, because Russell's got Rocky, right, and then also his partner Steve's two dogs, Archie and Cooper, now. So there's a whole, like, family of dogs, and I think Lad would get on very well with them.
Yeah.
But I love the video where he was crunching ice because of the heat, and I was just like, I'm in love.
Yeah. Oh my God. And he is such an amazing wingman. Okay, so like being gay in a wheelchair is so nice, to be completely honest. Because it puts like straight men, I don't seem as threatening as, you know, which is, you know, all ableism aside, but I'm not as threatening to them because, you know, they don't feel like I'm going to accost them at any time. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, you know, being able to interact with people, and I don't know, like when it comes to disability, people automatically assume you're straight. I don't know. Maybe I'm like super straight looking or acting. I don't know. I doubt that.
That's really interesting. Yeah.
But yeah, they just kind of, you know, assume that I'm straight, like that a gay person couldn't be disabled, which I found that to be quite common. But straight men love me for some reason. I don't know. I think it's like a mixture of like my disability and my charisma and everything, because I've always had a lot of straight guy friends specifically who didn't feel threatened by me. But yeah, it's just like, you know, I would go out to the bar with my friend Ariel when I lived in Grand Rapids, and she's like this tall, beautiful blonde, you know, and guys would buy me shots and then just go like completely ignore her. So it's just like this like amazing dynamic that, and they're just like, I think it just has to do with like masculinity in general, and that, I don't know, like, you know, guys can see themselves in me because, you know, it's just like we're mortal beings, you know, no matter how men think that they're invincible. It's just like, you know, it's a reality, like, oh shit, this could happen to me. But yeah, no. And Lad is such a huge wig man as well, because he's so fucking cute. Yeah, he just like, you know, I'll just like roll up to guys, you know, and ask them if I can photograph them, and, you know, he'll be, you know, wagging his tail and looking all cute, and they'll, you know, so he definitely helps for sure.
He's a useful tool to get a good portrait.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so.
Well, Robert, we ask every guest that comes on two very important questions. The first one is, if you could do an art heist, if you could have any work of art in the world, anything you wanted from anywhere in the world, and you could steal it nicely, what would it be and why?
Oh, damn. Damn, this is a hard question.
Uh-huh. Would it be a photograph, or would it be a sculpture,
or it could be a building, or anything. And we can bring a truck or cranes, or get the keys for a building. It could be anything you wanted.
Oh my! Or it could be my Lanta. Right. I'm not. I don't know. A nice print from Robert Andy Coombs.
Your own work. You would steal your own work.
Yeah, right? I would. No. I think like a Mapplethorpe or something. I don't know. Yeah.
What, the more graphic ones, like,
oh yeah. You never get to see the like super graphic ones. Like, yeah, the bullwhip and the guy in the suit. But I want to see that, and I want to see Andy Warhol's like really dirty shit, you know?
Yeah.
Like every time they have a retrospective, it's all like the stupid heteronormative,
Marilyn Monroe and Elizabeth II and stuff. And you're like, okay.
Right. And it's like, no, I don't want to see that. I want to see his like gross.
I want to see the dicks.
Gross, grungy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And butts. Yeah. I want to see dicks and butts.
Yeah, same. And if you was to steal your own work, then if it was a Robert Andy Coombs print, which one would would be the most coveted?
Oh man, also hard because they're all my children. I can't pick just one. I think one of my favorites. I think it would be me lying in the grass with my arms up on my chest. I don't know. It's one of my favorite photos.
Where you're looking into the camera.
Yeah, where I'm looking into the camera.
That's actually the main picture on your website at the moment.
Exactly. Yeah. It just kind of like accompanies like everything that I want to say or everything I want to capture within an image.
Beautiful.
So.
And actually that leads me onto something, because I really wanted to talk about your tattoos. And the reason I wanted to was because of that picture in particular. And I was wondering, how come you got tattoos? What was the drive? But what is that particular one on your arm? I think it's on your right arm, maybe? And it's got a kind of figurative head. I love that one. It's amazing.
So if when you go to robertandycoombs.com and you go to my photography drop-down menu and you go to Fly Fall, it is actually, the tattoo is actually a portrait I took of myself a week before my accident on the same trampoline.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I took that portrait a week before I broke my neck on the same trampoline.
Wow.
So I was in my third year of undergrad, and I had just finished up my finals for photography, and that was one of my photography finals. So that picture just like really resonated with me. It's such a beautiful portrait of myself. You can't tell if I'm like flying or falling. And it just kind of like, you know, it was just such a beautiful moment on that trampoline.
Wow.
So,
and there's a real like weightlessness, isn't there? A kind of, it's almost
buoyancy.
Beyond the physical embodiment of who we are as, you know, as humans here. That's, I love those portraits. They're incredible. And what would you, do you sort of, because I see you have a number of tattoos. Is it something that you want to keep on doing? Is there another tattoo you have in mind?
I think the next one is going to be a portrait of Lad on my thigh. Just because now that I live in Miami, like, you know, short shorts all year round. but I want it so that I can see him, you know, and my thigh is like one of the places I can see my body. I was
thinking you was going to say you'd have the cock destroyers then, or maybe a bag of chips somewhere on your body. Can you imagine?
I don't know about that, but it would be cool if they got one of their one of my pictures tattooed on them. So
yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So the other question we ask every guest is, what is your favorite color?
Blue, by far. I don't know. I look really good in blue. I love my eyes, and blue just makes
your
eyes
are kind of bluey. They're blue, aren't they? Bluey gray, I guess.
Yeah, they're dark blue. So
dark blue,
like the ocean, like the heart of the sea, heart of the ocean. Yeah.
Amazing. So, yeah. Well, what a pleasure it's been to speak to you today, Robert Andy Coombs, you legend.
You're making me want to be in Miami, Robert. I'm normally in Miami in December, and I've missed it this year because of COVID.
The art fair, yeah.
I'm always there every first week of December, and I'm not there this year. But when next year, I am coming to hang out with you.
Yes, I will be here. So, and I would love to hang out with you. We could go to Hollover Beach, nude beach, and we could
go
take
and
some photos.
Look for dicks and bums, buttholes everywhere, and dicks. Yes. Robert would love that. Right, Robert?
We're going to a nude beach. I'm up for this.
Yes, Rob loves getting nude. Loves
it'll be
it.
Rob,
so you've
Robert
got,
and, you've got Robert and Robert.
Rob with their bits out
right
on a beach. Great.
Okay.
Right.
Well, thank you so much for the incredible hour. I've loved spending every minute with you. And for everyone listening, you can go to our Instagram, and we will link to Robert's Instagram that we were discussing, and you'll be able to watch the videos and see his photos and discover Lad, his wonderful dog, as well.
And look at his website, robertandycoombs.com, is it, Robert?
Yes, that is correct.
Great. And your Instagram is the same,
also,
at Robert Andy Coombs.
Robert Andy Coombs 2.
Two, that's it, yes.
The number two, yeah. But when you go to the website, check out the Amazon wish list. And if you are able, please support the Amazon wish list. We love it.
Or donate to my PayPal.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Or donate to the PayPal.
My PayPal is linked there, too.
or reply to the model search and be a model.
Mm-hmm. Or that.
So many opportunities to interact with Robert Andy Coombs. No excuses.
It's never ending.
Yeah. Love it. Well, this is definitely just the beginning. Looking forward to meeting you in person once COVID pandemic is over. Well, thank you for listening,
thanks
everyone.
So
we will be back very soon.
Of course.
Yeah, we love you.
All right. Bye, everyone. Bye.
Thank you, Robert. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Talk Art with Robert Diamond and Russell Tovey.
Follow us on Instagram at Talk Art, where you can view images of all artworks discussed in today's episode, with music by Jack Northover.
Subscribe to Talk Art at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, or wherever it is that you get your podcasts.
Give us a rating and write us a comment. Thanks for listening.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.